Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
We are in the midst of our literature unit. This is the middle day when we talk about our featured novel, A Wrinkle in Time.
Mm-hmm.
Remember last time, of course, we talked about the novel itself. We gave you a summary of the novel. And maybe you could, find this novel online somewhere. It might be... Well, maybe not. Maybe it's not in the public domain, but you might have to buy a copy of it on an online bookstore or something like that, or just find a copy of it in your local bookstore. Read the book before the movie comes out next year,
mm-hmm.
But today we're going to actually talk about the author herself, a woman by the name of Madeleine L'Engle. Did I say that name right?
Yes, you did.
Madeleine L'Engle, okay. And we'll talk about her life and times and, the kinds of things that influenced her and why she wrote this book and why we think you might enjoy reading it, too. And maybe some of her other books as well. You did read this book yourself, right?
Yeah. I was a big reader when I was a kid. I would just, stay in my little room and just read. That's all I did. And I loved Madeleine L'Engle. I remember reading A Wrinkle in Time. I can see myself right now on my little twin bed reading this book. It was really good. I didn't particularly like science fiction or fantasy or even science, but she made it very enjoyable. We're going to find out that Ms. L'Engle was really into science herself. She was very smart. And she liked to write books for kids in particular. This is one of her most popular, if not the most popular, and a very, very, it's a bestseller for sure. And like Tom said, they're making a new movie out of this, which will be fun. I think I'll go check that out. But first, guys, as we always do, we're going to read through Madeleine L'Engle's life story, and then we'll be back.
Author Madeleine L'Engle was born in 1918. She was an only child, so she had to find ways to entertain herself. She spent most of her time at home reading and drawing. L'Engle's parents were quite well off and therefore provided her with a good education. She went to boarding schools in both the U.S. and Europe. After leaving college, L'Engle embarked on a career in the theater. 5 years later, she married and settled down. When she wasn't taking care of her children, she spent her time writing novels. Although her writing was compelling, many publishers refused to sign her because they couldn't clearly identify a market for her work. They believed her stories were too complex for children, but too childish for adults. Rather than changing her style to suit their marketing plans, L'Engle stuck to her guns. She insisted that she wasn't writing for a specific readership. Instead, she wrote for people. Eventually, she found a publisher who was willing to take a chance on her novel. In 1962, A Wrinkle in Time was published with low expectations. To the publisher's surprise, it became a big hit and won the 1963 Newbery Medal. The novel was so popular that L'Engle expanded it into a series. L'Engle's science fiction plot lines were heavily influenced by the works of theoretical physicists Max Planck and Albert Einstein. She was fascinated with the idea that time is flexible and that through technological advances, humans might one day find a way to journey back into the past. Her novels also expressed the desire to break free from traditional religious beliefs. L'Engle's writings encourage reflection on the mysteries of life, and this is what separates her works from other time travel narratives.
Okay, guys, let's get started. We're talking about the author Madeleine L'Engle. She was born way back in 1918, and I looked her up. I wanted to see what she looked like. She was born in New York City.
Cool.
I was telling Tom, a lot of people move there and eventually die there, but she was actually born there. Back in 1918, she was an only child, so she didn't have any siblings or brothers or sisters. So, of course, she probably got lonely sometimes, as only children children can do, because there's no one at home to, you know, play with you. So she had to find ways to entertain herself. If you entertain yourself or someone else, it just means you do something that's amusing or funny or that people enjoy. Entertainers generally are people who sing, dance. They're actors. There are lots of different forms of entertainment, but usually when we talk about entertainers, they're on stage. They're, you know, maybe comedians, stand-up comedians, or like I said, dancers, singers, actors, that sort of thing. She had to find ways to entertain herself because her parents were probably busy most of the time.
Yep, that's the verb, just to give pleasure to yourself by reading or playing games or whatever, entertain. And you did mention the word entertainer, and I can't help it, but that reminds me of the old Scott Joplin rag, The Entertainer. There you go, The Entertainer. I bet you can.
Yeah, I play that.
Scott Joplin's got some kind of famous piano music. But let's get back to our lesson here. She had to find ways to entertain herself as an only child, so she spent most of her time at home reading and drawing. Yes, that's something you can do if you're kind of bored. Just do some reading or drawing. Nowadays, of course, people are perfectly happy to spend all day swiping their phones.
Mm-hmm.
That might really do too much. That might not do too much to your intellect, of course. It'll help you pass the time, but reading and drawing will probably make you as smart as Madeline L'Engle was.
Yeah, there are great ways to entertain yourself besides just playing video games and playing on your smartphone.
Or sending cute little sticker pictures to your friends back and forth all day long.
Well, L'Engle's parents were quite well off. When we say a family or a person is well off, it means they have quite a bit of money. Maybe they're not super rich, but they do have quite a bit of money. And therefore, she was able to go to some very good schools, expensive schools, and she had a good education. I looked her up, and she went to Smith College, which is for girls, I think, especially back then, and it's a very, very good school. It's not only expensive, it's hard to get into.
Is it as good as Harvard?
For women, maybe, but Harvard's number one, I would say.
Okay.
Yeah.
But still pretty good.
That's a very good. It's an Ivy League school, yeah.
Smith College is?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay, it's one of those small private colleges.
It's liberal arts.
In the East Coast. I hear about people going to those places all the time. You don't necessarily have to go to Harvard, folks.
It's someone famous, a politician, maybe Hillary Clinton went to Smith. But,
okay.
Yeah, it's their acceptance rate is very low, which
means. In any case, yes, her parents were well off, and she got to have a good education going to a private school there. And she went to boarding schools in both the U.S. and Europe. A boarding school is basically a place you go to and you stay there. You don't go home after every day. And after leaving college, when she graduated, L'Engle embarked on a career in the theater. So embark here just means to begin something. To embark usually is used if we're talking about embarking on a journey.
Right.
Where your journey begins, especially if you're on a big sailing boat, to embark on a journey across the Pacific Ocean, for example. But here it just means she began her career in the theater. It doesn't say whether she was a writer or a director or worked in choreography or whatever.
I'm thinking she was an actress, probably.
Yeah. So she started her career in the theater, which is live plays, not in movies, and 5 years later, she married and settled down. The phrase to settle down means you kind of just get responsible, you get married, you have kids, you have a full-time job, and you do that for 20 or 30 years until you retire. A lot of people, of course, maybe they want to try different jobs here and there, be single for a while, do some traveling, do some backpacking, and then eventually get serious, get a real job, and settle down and become responsible.
Right. So some people never settle down. They keep exploring the world, and there's not just one place where they call home. So when she wasn't taking care of her kids, she spent time writing novels. This is after she settled down. Now, in the second paragraph, it starts out by saying, although her writing was compelling, many publishers refused to sign her to represent her because they couldn't clearly identify a market for her work. They would probably look at her writing and say, who are you writing for? Is this book for kids or for adults or for men? For what is this? Who are you writing for? That's what we talk about when we say there's a market for a certain product, like a book, a movie, or even something that you buy in the store, like a food product. You need a market, people who are interested in that thing. If writing is compelling, it gets your interest. You really want to keep going back to it because there's something about that's really gets your attention and your interest. And she's like a lot of authors. When you first get started, it's very hard to get a publishing company to take you on. And you need a publisher, or at least you did back then. They are the ones who would publish and print your book and get it out there to bookstores for sale. These days, if you want to write something, you can print it yourself and put it on the internet.
Whether someone will read your stuff or not is another matter.
Exactly.
But again, back then, you had to go through a publisher, and she submitted her manuscript to a publisher and different publishers, and they said, well, yes, it's compelling, it's a pretty cool story, we like it, but geez, who the heck are you writing for? We can't identify a market. Is it for kids? Is it for adults? It doesn't seem to fit anywhere, and we might not be able to sell it. So they also believe that her stories were too complex for children, but too childish for adults. So that kind of tells us why they weren't really sure about publishing her novel. They said that, yeah, the stories are kind of complex, okay? And usually if it's a children's story, it can't be too complex. It's got to be kind of simple. Mm-hmm. It's got to have a simple plot line and simple characters and stuff like that. If it's too complex, they may not be able to follow it. If something's complex, of course, it has all sorts of different kinds of parts that are connected and maybe not connected and stuff like that. And it's quite complex. If you read some modern novels, like I tried to read A la recherche de temps perdu by Proust, you know, and that's quite complex too. Jesus, it's so hard to keep track of all the characters and stuff like that. Or even Shakespeare's plays like Richard III it's so complex. All those characters and all those plots and those subplots, who can keep it straight?
I know. Well, someone who might be able to keep something straight, at least a lot of things, is our Chinese teacher. We're going to listen for a minute, and then we'll be back after a quick break.
Hello, 大家好，我是 Trevor， 欢迎收听 English Digest。今天我们要阅读的文章是 Unit 14文学单元的第二天课程。在今天的文章中，我们将会知道 A Wrinkle in Time 的作者的成长背景，以及他的创作过程。我们看到第一段的第二句，She was an only child, so she had to find ways to entertain herself. 她是独生女，所以她必须找到娱乐自己的方法。名词 way 有方法、方式的意思，相当于 manner, M-A-N-N-E-R。前面搭配介系词 in a, 再加形容词 way 或者是 manner， 就是指用什么什么的方式或方法。例如 ，The teacher is teaching her students.How to prepare for an English test in an efficient way. 老师正在教他的学生如何用有效率的方法来准备英文考试。Way 的后面也可以接 to 加原形动词，或 of 加 ving 来表示做什么什么的方法。例如 ，Are you sure this is a good way to solve this problem? 你确定这是解决这个问题的好方法吗？另外为后面也可以接一个子句来表示做什么什么的方法，句型就是 the way in which 或是 the way that 加一个完整的句子，或是 the way 后面直接接一个完整的句子，这个时候就相当于 how 加一个完整句子。例如 I admire the way the director dealt with the details in this movie， 我钦佩导演处理这部电影细节的方式。文章的第二段提到，虽然作者的作品很吸引人，但他的写作生涯一开始并不顺利，一直到他出版了 A Wrinkle in Time 这本小说，他才大受欢迎。我们看到这一段的第一句， Although her writing was compelling, many publishers refused to sign her because they couldn't clearly identify a market for her work. 虽然他的作品引人入胜，但许多出版商拒绝签下他，因为他们无法清楚地确认他作品的市场。这句有一个形容词 compelling， 意思是 very interesting or exciting so that you have to pay attention， 也就是指引人入胜的，相当于 fascinating 或是 captivating， CAPTIVATING. 例如 The detective novel is so compelling that I can't put it down. 这本侦探小说如此引人入胜，以至于我无法放下它不读。另外 compelling 还可以指令人信服的，例如 The police were finally able to find compelling evidence to put the suspect in prison. 警方最后总算找到令人信服的证据来将那名嫌疑犯送入监狱。 compelling 的动词就是 compel， C-O-M-P-E-L， 有强迫迫使的意思，相当于 force， F-O-R-C-E。 compel 或者 force somebody to do something就是指强迫某人去做某事，例如 The boss often compels his employees to work overtime for no pay. 这位老板常常强迫他的员工无薪加班。另外，这一句还有一个重要的动词 identify， 意思是认出、指认、辨识。例如 The victim was asked to identify the criminal. 这名受害者被要求去指认罪犯。 identify 还有认同、感同身受的意思，像今年学测的第一大题就考了 identify with 这个片语。考题的句子就是 People in this community tend to identify with the group they belong to and often put group interest before personal ones. 这个社区的人们往往会认同他们所属的团体，常常将团体利益置于个人利益之前。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Okay, everybody, let's continue with our lesson for today. Again, we're talking about Madeleine L'Engle and her life and times, and when she wrote our featured novel, A Wrinkle in Time. She tried to get it published, but publishers thought, well, yes, we like the story, it's compelling, it's interesting, but we can't identify a market for it. Your stories are kind of complex, maybe too much so for children, but maybe too childish for adults. The idea of traveling to other planets and saving your brother, that might not be of interest to adults. But again, this story of all these physics and things and Max Planck and Albert Einstein and quantum mechanics and all that stuff and relativity, well, that might be too complex for children.
Yeah, might be, but not always, especially for teens. Some people are really into that. Now, rather than changing her style to suit their marketing plans, the publishing company's marketing plans, L'Engle stuck to her guns. When you stick to your guns, that's the present tense form of this phrase. It just means you feel strongly about something and you won't let anyone change your mind or change your opinion. You stick to your guns. You don't change. She insisted that she wasn't writing for a specific readership. Readership here just means the people that are interested in a particular book, the readership. She just wanted to write for people. Why can't an adult enjoy A Wrinkle in Time? My mom read it after I did because I loved it so much, and she enjoyed it too. So, you know, some books aren't necessarily confined or restricted to one readership. Maybe a book is really quite popular for a lot of different groups.
Right, readership, the readers of a particular book or magazine or whatever. So she kind of, I guess, made her own market there. And
yeah.
She said here it's instead she wrote for people. So it wasn't for specific markets. It wasn't just for kids.
Yeah.
It wasn't just for adults. It's for people in general. And eventually she found a publisher who was willing to take a chance on her novel. Take a chance, take a chance, take a chance on me. So, yes, they were willing to take a gamble. Well, yeah, we just don't know if this book is going to sell or not. We'll just take a chance and see what happens.
That's right. Well, to the publisher's surprise, it became a big hit when it was published in 1962, a long time ago. It was published then with low expectations. We often hear this about kids here in Taiwan. Parents have high expectations of their kids. Expectations are hopes that someday somebody will, accomplish their goals, that their dreams will come true. Expectations means they haven't quite achieved it yet. You have this belief that something will happen in the future. Please be careful and always put an S on this word. You can't have a high expectation. Guys, we say expectations for the most part in the plural form. Be careful with that. Low expectations, you don't think much will come of this book. But they were wrong. The publishers were wrong. I love this. I love for authors to succeed. And when it was published, it became a big hit and won that very important Newbery Medal in 1963. The Newbery Medal is only awarded to authors who write books for children or teens. Teens are also considered to be the children's market.
And also, I guess you proved that you should not underestimate the intelligence of young people. I'm realizing this all the time, that young people have some kind of insight into things that I no longer have as an adult. So in any case here, yes, indeed, she won the Newbery Medal back in 1963, and the novel was so popular that Langell expanded it into a series. So it was popular, so she expanded it. To expand something just means to make it larger. So she decided, hey, I'm going to keep going with this and I can sell more novels. Although, like you said, I guess the sequels came out maybe a little bit too late for you. And you never read the sequels. You just read the first one.
Yeah, by the time she wrote her sequels, I was reading other types of literature, so I never read the follow-up books, so you might check into those as well. Well, the novel really was popular, which is always the hope of either an author or a screenwriter, somebody who writes screenplays for movies. You hope that something will catch on or take off, be popular, so that you can maybe write a sequel, something that follows up to the original. Now, Langell's science fiction plot lines were heavily influenced by the works of theoretical physicists. These are really smart scientists, Max Planck and Albert Einstein. I know all of you know who Albert Einstein is, the guy with the crazy hair.
Mm-hmm.
I just actually watched a biography of his life. Very interesting.
Okay.
The plot line, of course, is just the plot, the story, and how things are put together. And she, I think you could say her books are science fiction, fantasy, even a little bit of fantasy. Theoretical physicists. I'll give that to you, Tom.
Theoretical means having to do with theory, because you can't really prove it, and of course it's not really practical. And of course Einstein talked about relativity, and Max Planck is kind of the father of quantum physics or quantum mechanics, and I'm not going to get into that right now because I don't understand it at all, quantum theory or whatever, but I guess Langell was influenced by that, and she was fascinated with the idea that time is flexible. If you're fascinated with something, that means it's really interesting to you, and you're irresistibly drawn to that thing. You want to know more about it. You're fascinated. And she just thought that was the coolest thing. Wow, Einstein, relativity, Max Planck, quantum physics. And she's also fascinated with the idea that time is flexible, that it's not fixed. Like if you travel faster toward the speed of light and then you come back to Earth, everybody else will be young and you'll be really old or something the opposite like that. So time can change. It's all about energy and the speed of light and stuff like that. It's pretty funky stuff, and she was fascinated with that as well. And it is kind of hard. It kind of challenges our understanding of how things work.
Yeah, that's pretty complex stuff. It's not easy. It's complicated. Now, it also says here that through technological advances, that just means advances in technology, right? Humans might one day find a way to journey back into the past. We have lots of movies and TV series about this whole idea of, traveling, time travel, traveling back to the past. Actually, there is currently a TV series in the U.S. about time travel that I've been watching a little bit. It's interesting. Her novels also express a desire to break free from traditional religious beliefs. Madeline Langell was a big Christian, and actually a lot lot of her books contain things about her religious beliefs. She is also, as you can see, a scientist. So she's trying to combine science with religion in a way that's a little bit new, at least back then in the way she wrote. It says, Lengel's writings encourage reflection on the mysteries of life. If you reflect on something, it means you ponder it, you meditate about it, you think deeply about it. And mysteries of life include things like, why are we here? Where did we come from? Where are we going? Things like that, the mysteries of life that we won't know about maybe until we die.
Or maybe we won't find out anything. Who knows? Yeah. But in any case, the mysteries of life, why we live, why are we here? What the heck? Are there ghosts? Are they real? Is there a soul? There's all sorts of mysteries in life. Is the Loch Ness Monster real or fake or whatever?
I think it's real.
You think it's real, okay. I'm beginning to think maybe it is just a figment of people's imagination.
Maybe a big, big, big fish.
Maybe it's just a big balloon that the kids forgot to pop after their last birthday party. But who knows? Yes, she wants to reflect on the mysteries of life, and this separates her works from other time travel narratives. And yes, of course, we have different stories about time travel, and this one is kind of different, so you might want to check it out. It might actually grab your attention. Okay, that brings us to the end of our article for today. Let's finish off by listening one more time to our Chinese teacher.
文章的最后一段提到，作者的科幻小说和其他作家的科幻小说有何不同？我们看到这段的最后一句 ，Lengel's writings encourage reflection on the mysteries of life, and this is what separates her works from other time travel narratives. 兰哥的作品鼓励对生命之谜深思，而这是区分他的作品与其他时间旅行故事的地方。本句的 what 就相当于 the thing which。表示什么什么的东西或事情。 What 和关系代名词 which 最大的不同之处在于 What 本身就等于先行词 the thing 加 which， 所以 What 前面不需要一个名词当先行词，而 which 前面则是要有一个先行词。例如 The sports car is not what I can afford now， 这部跑车不是我现在负担得起的东西。以上就是今天的课程，谢谢收听。
Thanks for joining us, guys. We've been talking about A Wrinkle in Time. Love transcends time and space. In our next program, we're going to be talking about the themes, the ideas in this book. Some things that Lengel wanted to talk about that she included in this book. So we hope you'll join us then. For English Digest, I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Tom. Goodbye.
Bye.